The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, I might be crazy. I really might be crazy. Because last night, I'm watching this football game. And I'm watching the Cincinnati Bengals dice up the Baltimore Ravens in the first half of this game. Andy Dalton is hitting AJ Green like every single pass, and they're going for touchdowns. And in a blink of an eye, they're just cruising past the Ravens. And Cincinnati goes on to win 34-23. But as good as the Bengals looked, I still don't know who they are. And the Ravens at times, I still don't really know who they are. Now, I'm not saying that I have a game where that's their true identity. It's a long season. We still have a long way to go in the NFL. So getting an identity after week two is not my number one priority. But I'm looking at this Bengals team and I'm thinking to myself, okay, this looks really, like in the first half, this looks really good. But if you fast forward and get me to the end of the season and tell me, they kind of went 9-7 and they kind of stumbled down the stretch and they didn't really lose anybody. It's just one of those things that just happened to this team. I wouldn't be overly shocked. I mean, AJ Green, they just made it look so easy. I don't know what Baltimore was thinking. I don't know how they just let him keep scoring touchdowns. But then again, if you tell me Baltimore recovers nicely, makes the playoffs, I wouldn't be shocked about it either. Other than that, fine game. Entertaining game for most of it. It was a game where I did think in the end, I thought Baltimore was going to come back in this one. I mean, they were getting killed early and then they started climbing back in. I did think at one point, I thought the Ravens were going to come back and kind of solidify this, but then, Joe Flacco's throwing picks and losing a fumble and et cetera, and the Cincinnati Bengals go on to 2-0 on the season. Now, I will say, one of the things that I saw in the post-game show at the end of it was the Who Day chant by Cincinnati. It's cute. It's not that awesome. It's cute. That's all I got to say about that. All right, we'll talk more about Thursday Night Football. We'll talk more about week two in the NFL as we get close to Sunday. The weekend is close. We got a lot to get to. It's Tony D and Ron Culver on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, glad you could be with us, SB Nation AM, this morning. All right, Thursday Night Football saw Cincinnati go to 2-0, beating Baltimore 34-23. As Joe Buck pointed out, it's the second straight 34-23 win for the Bengals, who beat Indianapolis last week by the same score. They made it look easy, and then they kind of stumbled a little bit. So I don't really know what either team is going to look like down the stretch. But, you know, Cincinnati's 2-0, more power to them. A.J. Green with three touchdown catches. You know, a little interesting tidbit on A.J. Green? A little side note, if you will. A.J. Green went to Somerville High School, and that is in South Carolina. And Somerville High School's head coach is a guy by the name of John McKissick, or he used to be a guy named John McKissick, who he retired in 2014. He was the head coach at Somerville High School, the same high school, same job, coaching football from 1952 to 2014. He won 621 games in his career. So the longest tenured coach in the history of high school football. He hadn't missed a game coaching in 62 years. 62 years. He's still alive at the age of 91. He's no longer the coach there, but can you imagine coaching at the same joint since 1952? The same high school, same drills every summer, watching the technology advance, not going from film. You know, basically, I don't have any game film, to now you have everything on computers. Well, he got to a point where, because I lived in Somerville for a year, and I went to a Somerville high school game. He got to a point where he was like a head coach in name only. Like a lot of the other guys were doing a lot of the work, but AJ Green was his student, was his player. So AJ Green was one of the John McKissick students. He coached a couple of guys into the NFL. They won 10 South Carolina state championships. How about that for a little bit of A.J. Green knowledge on a day he catches three touchdowns, huh? Huh?
That's impressive.
Yeah, pretty much. 1952.
I just knew that, you know, if you don't cover him, he's going to beat you.
Yeah, if you don't set your defense to sort of make it tough, he's going to beat you. What were the Ravens doing? I couldn't figure it out. They said last night at the, at least in the game recaps I was reading, that they tried different things. Well, whatever they tried wasn't working.
Yeah, I got a conspiracy theory on it. I think one of the defensive backs had him on their fantasy team.
Must have been. Must have been.
He's like, I'm going to let him do it, guys. I need the points.
Oh, my God.
Because, I mean,
the quickest three touchdowns I've ever seen anybody get in this league.
I'll give him, there was one where, you know, he caught it, then was able to turn and, you know, make a few moves. And I think it was maybe his third touchdown.
Yeah, I think it was third touchdown.
Yeah.
The quick short yardage.
Yeah, the quick slant. I mean, you know.
7-8 yards.
And he just, you know, he found a little hole and exploited. I mean, and that's the thing, too. You forget about his breakaway speed.
Oh, I know. No kidding.
We always talk about it's like, he's got sure hands, and he just blew past everyone. He just ran by everybody. And that's the only one, man, I was like, you know what? That's the only one I'll give the Ravens a little credit. Like, he beat you. But the other one's like, just leave him open.
Leave him open.
It's kind of like that basketball mentality. You know, like, LeBron's going to get his, but let's stop everyone else.
Yeah, we'll stop everybody else, right? Let's stop everybody else.
I don't know if that works in football.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, because all of a sudden, this is like, what's his face? Andy Dalton was like, this is easy. This is a piece of cake.
He's like, he's playing Madden at that point.
I know. God. They did stall, though, which was really surprising. I mean, it was 21-0 with a minute into the second quarter. And I was like, this is going to be a blowout. And the Ravens kind of clawed their way back into it a little bit, make it an interesting game. But then, the Bengals kick a couple of field goals at the end and then ice this thing. But, I mean, I'm not thinking that the Bengals are like now this AFC power. They did look good, but the teams are going to go play Cincinnati and be like, okay, we're going to cover AJ Green, so we're not going to make that stupid mistake.
Yeah, but weren't you surprised they didn't just say, we're going to go step on their throats?
No, I know. That was the thing. This thing could have been 45-3. I mean, they went and scored three quick touchdowns. And then four quick touchdowns, really, and then started punting. And it's just stall, stall, stall. And again, I give credit to the Ravens for making some sort of effort defensively, but stall, 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 and allowed the Ravens to claw back in the game. It was 28-23 in the fourth quarter. I would have thought that when it was 21-0.
Yeah, and see,
Ravens look lost.
I'm putting that more on the Bengals than I am on the Ravens, because the Bengals had a game plan. They came out firing. And it just seems, it seemed to me, it's like, you know what, we're just, you know, we're good. We'll just put in cruise control.
Well, mix it up a little bit.
Marv Lewis sitting there saying, yeah, you know what, I don't really need a job.
I'm fine. I'm on the hot seat for a reason. Let's keep this growing.
Yeah, I want my name out there. I don't care if it's good or bad. That's what they say, right? You know, any publicity is good publicity.
Any publicity is good publicity.
Just keep my name out there. I could have stepped on the throes of the Ravens, buried them into the ground, cost Joe Flacco his job. But you know what? We'll just put it in cruise control.
That fourth quarter touchdown, John Brown, that caught Joe Flacco, that was a nice catch. That was down the line, down the sideline. It was a nice catch. Joe Flacco, I thought, was playing for his job until he started coming back a little bit. But he did throw two picks and had that strip of the fumble late in the game. But other than that, it was just a normal, just a typical AFC North battle between these two teams. Again, I don't know what to make out of this game. It's hard to do that in week two, and I'm not trying to say that these teams owe me some sort of identity, but they don't. But still, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know. The Bengals they still look like an 8-8 kind of football team at times, and the Ravens look like a team that's got some problems too.
Oh yeah.
It's easy when you're beating up the hapless Buffalo Bills to look fantastic, but this is a team that's still got some deals.
I mean, for Flacco's interceptions are bad. I feel both of these guys are going to be fighting for playoffs come December.
Yeah, like, me too.
None of them are going to be in cruise control. The only thing that's missing from this game, though, is just nasty weather. I mean, I always associate the AFC North with nasty weather. This looked too nice outside.
You need rain or ice.
Yeah, just something just
too beautiful in Cincinnati last night. They did honor the 1988. This was a weird tribute last night. They honored the 1988 and a football team that made the Super Bowl that lost to the 49ers when Joe Montana hit John Taylor late in the fourth quarter to win the game. And so they honored that team, and then they pointed out that was the team that went furthest in the playoffs. The Bengals have not won more than haven't won a playoff game since 1990.
Damn.
The Bills not making the playoffs since 99 is long enough. Not winning a playoff, not going deep into the playoffs since 90. That's insane.
Not winning? I mean, they haven't won.
That's insane. They've gone to the playoffs, quickly eliminated.
We were talking yesterday. I mean, Marv Lewis, he's brought his team there seven times, I think. All those seven times, they hasn't won one?
And that's it.
He's terrible.
Quickly get out. I think that was Sam Weish. That was the last coach that won a playoff game for the Cincinnati Bengals. Sam Weish. So they're honoring Anthony Munoz and Chris Collinsworth and Boomer Esiason was on that team. I mean, they're honoring these guys because they made one of the deepest runs in Bengals history by going to the Super Bowl 20-something years ago.
Did they raise an NFL runner-up banner?
Yeah, they might as well have last night.
NFL
runner-up. That was what they were honoring.
Up.
It was a 30-year anniversary of the last Bengals team to make the Super Bowl to lose to the Niners. The Bengals have gone to two Super Bowls in the franchise history. They lost both times to Joe Montana, and that's it. The last deep win in the postseason for them was the AFC Championship game that got them to the Super Bowl, where they lost. I don't even remember who they played in that game. I don't know who they beat in that game. But Bengals did have one of the weirdest you're a Chargers fan, so you know a lot about the Charger history. But the Bengals, when they went to their first Super Bowl, Super Bowl 16, played in absolutely frigid temperatures in that AFC Championship game. Now, the Chargers, the team they were playing, had gone and played Miami and won in double overtime against the Dolphins in a very sticky, humid, hot night down in Miami. Kellen Winslow was cramping up, the famous picture of him being carried off the field in the 82 title game. Very famous picture. The Chargers had, you think about sort of the weather pattern for that week for the Chargers from that game until the AFC title game. They went from Miami, sticky, hot, humid, gross, winning that game in double overtime, flew back to San Diego where it's perfect at 75 degrees all the time, hung out there for a while, prepared for the AFC title game, went to Cincinnati where it was like wind chill was like minus 30. Like, and Dan Fouts still talks about the fact that it was, he didn't wear gloves. And he still says when he gets in cold weather, his hands still hurt from that game. I think there were like two people that died in that game because they were drunk and took off their clothes. Like, it was just a crazy, crazy, crazy AFC title game. It was frigid, absolutely frigid. And then the Bengals went to the Super Bowl. And that's the two pieces of history the Bengals have in the postseason is two Super Bowl appearances, losing to Joe Montana, and not winning a playoff game since 1990. That's it. That's what the Bengals have. So why not honor the 30-year anniversary of the team that gave you the last bit of joy you ever had as a Bengals fan? Because everything else has been postseason failure.
All right, to make it to the Super Bowl in 89 or the 88 season, when the second time they lost to the 49ers, who do you think they would have played in the AFC Championship?
That year in the Denver Broncos.
Not Buffalo.
Buffalo. Okay. Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
All right.
But
yeah, that makes sense because the Bills went to the Super Bowl the next year.
Their playoff losses.
Or the 2 years later.
Their playoff losses since 1990. Mm-hmm. I mean, they went to the playoffs in 90 and then lost to the Raiders in the division round. Then they didn't make the first time they made the playoffs after that was in 2005.
And they lost to the Steelers.
Yeah. That's when there's a string of losses. It's not an impressive list of teams that they keep losing to. And everything's in the wild card.
That game against the Steelers, a Steeler defensive player, I think it was Kiko Von Olofen, rolled on Carson Palmer's leg and knocked Carson Palmer out of the game. So so they don't really have a long playoff history since 90.
No, since then they lost to the Jets, the Texans twice, the Chargers, the Colts, and the Steelers again in 2015.
Yeah. Yikes. One and done, Bengals in the postseason. Well, good. So you find something to give people some hope and some nostalgia and you honor. Well, first of all, Anthony Munoz is one of the best offensive linemen to ever play the game. So anytime you could put him on the field and give him an honor and applause, that's fantastic.
Just bring him out.
That's always
tip
good.
His hat.
All right, 800-777-2907. All right, coming up next, there was a signing in the NFL that has me really, really perplexed. I need some sort of explanation from somebody from the league. That's next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
SB Nation AM, glad you could be with us on a Friday morning at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You're guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts you need. Guaranteed low prices ensure you're always getting the best deal. In fact, O'Reilly's will match any local auto parts store's price on any like item. They have the parts you need at the prices you can be sure of at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. All right, so I would say a week ago, maybe a little more than that, we did the story of Michael Kendricks getting dismissed by the Browns for insider trading. And I remember thinking, remember at the time we did this story, I said, boy, of all of the cuts I have seen the NFL make, or the legal trouble, the NFL has dealt with almost every conceivable crime that they could deal with. Insider trading, stock insider trading. This was the first time I'd ever heard of this. So Michael Kendricks gets cut by the Browns. He's clearly going to jail for this. I mean, this is the SEC, not the Southeastern Conference, or whatever guides this is going to hammer him for this.
And it's not a short term either. I mean, I think I was seeing, at least 30 years?
Yeah. I mean, it was a big, big deal. Like, they boom, boom, boom. Seahawks comes in. They go, you know what? We'll sign him. We'll figure this out. He probably won't go to prison right away. And while he's waiting out going to prison, I think we could use him. So the NFL is actually looking into this. But up until then, the Seahawks said, "Yeah, what the heck? We'll give you a call. We'll bring you in." Yeah, now, why couldn't the Browns have done this? Why couldn't the Browns have said, like, you know, if you get involved in, like, you know, domestic violence or dog fighting or something like that, like, that's, there's a public image that you want to uphold as a company. You want to say, No. Somebody who hits his girlfriend or hits his wife is not, there's no place on this team. There's no place in this league. We're taking a stand. Do fans really go, oh, insider trading, man? No. I don't care if he sacks the quarterback, and I don't care if he gets turnovers for us. I can't get over the insider trading part of this guy's life. I don't think people do.
No, I think, yeah, I think part of the problem is that it's a white collar crime.
Yeah, totally.
They don't know how to handle it.
No.
It's like, we're used to drugs. We're used to domestic violence. Heck, we're even used to you deflating a football.
Yeah.
But this whole insider, man, you got us baffled on this one.
I have no idea how insider trading works. So, God, I'll just leave it up to the authorities to tell me how serious that is.
I think it's in the wording. You trade inside.
I think you trade inside rather than outside. Right? No, like, in case, like, outside in the sun or outside in the rain.
All it really is, I mean, I'm no expert. But isn't it just he got tips, right?
Yeah, he got information he wasn't supposed to have and used that inside information to bolster his stock. But what I don't know is how is that different? Look, I get it. Sometimes you get proprietary information. Sometimes you get classified information and you're not supposed to get. But how is that different than evaluating? Like, just stumbling upon information. I mean, what are you supposed to do with it if you find out? Like, let's say you had Google stock, right? And you found out, and you just found out through whatever, however you found out that Google was going to put out this new AI that was going to make, cancer obsolete, right? Wouldn't you double down on that stock because you know that it's going to go through the roof once word leaks out? I mean, what do you do with that information? You're not supposed to act on it? I don't understand.
I'm going to have to watch Trading Places again.
Yeah, I'm going to have to figure it out. Now, I get it. Sometimes you get information you're not supposed to have, like you obtain that illegally. That I kind of get. But
you know what it is. You know why they're...
What's that the difference in what Jim Cramer does on TV when he tells you, I just think the stock's going to go down because the company's doing this?
Yeah, because that's speculation.
That's speculation.
No, I think part of the problem with this is that with how America is treating it is that it's... Martha Stewart went to jail for insider trading.
Yeah, she did. That's right.
She's America's mom.
Yeah, that's right. She makes great flower arrangements, and she makes really good cookies.
You can't be mad at mom.
No.
For that
mad
long.
At Martha Stewart.
Yeah, so.
Apparently she did something wrong. But she paid her penalty,
and
that, now she's back.
And befriended Snoop Dogg.
Now Snoop Dogg's her real good friend.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because she did her time.
So. Good for the Seahawks to be like, you know what? Until he goes to prison, he's going to sack the quarterback for us and go out and get some tackles. Good for him. He's a good player. He's a good player. Nah, somebody could use him.
That's why, like you said, why didn't the Browns just go, you know what? This might take a while. Why don't we just play him in the meantime?
Why does Antonio Callaway, their wide receiver, why did he get all the benefit of the doubt? But Michael Kendricks, it's like, nah, we can't use you. You white collar crime criminal. You get out of here, take off.
It's white collar crimes.
People in Cleveland don't tolerate insider trading.
White
in the National Football League.
Crimes are ruining football.
God, what a strange deal. What a strange deal. He pleaded guilty, but then I started thinking, okay, because you had your little conspiracy theory, and I started going, he's going to go to jail a long time, but what if he isn't? What if he's actually going to bring down the empire that was whatever he was attached to? What if he's the guy working on the inside with the feds to bust a huge, huge pyramid scheme that's going on in the whatever it is he was involved in? And he's the catalyst. He's the linchpin for it. He's the guy that is helping bring it down. And now he's going to get exonerated. He's going to continue to play in the NFL. What if behind the scenes, the SEC is telling the NFL, No, don't worry about this guy. He's actually on our team. He's actually helping us bring in the big fish, the whales. These are the guys we're after. He's actually helping us. And so they went, okay, Michael Kendricks is good. And Seattle went, we'll take him. And that was it. How you like that thought process?
There you go. And then he'll change his name. He'll have to relocate. He'll just become like all of a sudden, just random team. 49ers pick up a guy by the name of Kenny Michaels.
Kenny Michaels, right? And you're like, wow, does it look like Michael Kendricks? Nope, I'm not Michael Kendricks. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know who that is. I get that a lot. I look just like him and have the same sort of size and build, but not him.
Same skill set, but no.
Same skill set. I can't begin to tell you what a weird... Like, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when this story broke. Does Roger Goodell go, oh, God, really? I've seen it all. I've had guys in my league commit murder. I've had guys in my league the domestic violence list is a mile long. I've had guys with guns. I've had guys with drugs. You name it, I've dealt with it. Insider trading? Are you kidding me? Really? Insider trading? I got to deal with this now? I got 53 guys on 32 teams and insider trading? Insider trading I'm going to have to rule on? Ah!
Yeah, and he needs to be careful because Roger's like, oh, man, he got cut.
Yeah, right? Right, exactly. Exactly.
talk about collusion amongst the owners.
Oh, boy. All of a sudden, you're checking your notes to see if you took any accidental stock tips from Michael Kendricks at any time. Every player in the league is like, hey, wait a minute. Did Michael Kendricks ever talk to me about some sort of stock? Did I relate to my account anything Michael Kendricks
ever told
me about anything?
Maybe that's why he got released by the Browns.
Maybe everybody in the Browns organization is like, I had money in this guy's thing. God, they're
going
to come after me.
Going
remember,
down.
Remember when the FBI showed up at the golf tournament for Phil Mickelson because of this?
Yes.
Same deal. Remember that? Same
white
deal.
White collar crime. You don't go to jail for white collar crimes.
Phil Mickelson was. They went to go talk to Phil Mickelson at a golf. The FBI went to go talk to Phil Mickelson at a golf tournament over insider trading.
But first, I'm going to let you finish this putt. But then you need to come with me, Phil.
Keep playing, and then we're going to talk. We got to talk about something you did with a stock tip. Michael Kendricks for the Seahawks.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Give me with those 800-777-2907. You want to get your comments in on week two in the NFL. Oh, you know what's depressing is the fact that in a blink of an eye, Ron, we're going to be like, it's week 15, and it'll be almost over. I love fall so much, but
you're not allowed to say that yet. Don't be a Debbie Downer.
No. It bothers me every single year. Every year I get to fall. Listen, I tell people all the time, my favorite months are the ones with a burr in it, right? I like September, October, November, December. I love it. Not just for football. I like the weather changing. I like the holidays. I like Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. I love this. I just love this time of year. I just dig it. I know some people are more summer people. Some people like the spring. But I'm a fall person. A lot of it's growing up in New Hampshire with the seasons. We have beautiful weather change, this time of year. But nevertheless, it goes by faster than I need it to. I just don't like it. I need it to slow down. It's already the 15th of September, for crying out loud. 14th of September. So yesterday, I found a phenomenon because yesterday, my daughter had a soccer game. We were doing some stuff last night. So I said, you know what? I was in the afternoon. I said, you know what? I'm going to take a nap. Now, I'm with you. If I take a nap, I try not to take a super long one. I get really groggy and my brain, my mind is just, my head just doesn't feel right if I take too long of a nap.
You're messed up for the day.
You're really messed up. And so I usually try to lay down for a little bit. I get my alarm on my phone and, I keep the phone right next to where I'm sleeping. So I don't doze off too crazy. So I went down, the alarm goes off, and I literally, my brain was like, a no, click, boom, and stayed down for a while, and I felt miserable the rest of the day. Miserable. Oh, like I got hit by a train. I know I've talked about this before, but I don't know if there's a way to train myself so that I can take like 5-hour naps and feel better about myself.
I was down for a couple of hours.
I don't think so either. It's not worth it. The grogginess that I felt the rest of the night was not worth the feeling of satisfaction of laying in bed the extra time that I did. It just wasn't. It wasn't. The trade-off wasn't there. But my brain was like, you ain't getting up. Don't even try. If you get up, I swear I'll make your legs not work. I swear you'll fall right to the floor. Don't even try it. Don't even try it. No, I got to get up. Don't you even get up. I swear your legs will come right out from under you. You will plop right down. I'll give you no lower body strength at all. I was like, okay, I'll stay in bed. You're right, you'll stay in bed. Now you'll get up when I tell you to get up. That was my brain. Then finally went, okay, we can get up now. And oh, by the way, I'm miserable and cranky. So, and that's the way I felt the rest of the night. That's what I mean, just the whole night. I was like, ugh, blah, blah. So I was glad football was on last night because I felt like, oh, okay, I can, settle in and not have to feel so miserable. So even though the game was, I felt was over quick, and I was kind of losing patience with it a little bit. Like, all right, like wake me up when this is a game. I was doing some things on the computer, reading some articles and stuff like that. And then I look up and oh, the Ravens are coming back into it. But that middle part after 21-0, I kind of was losing faith in it. I was kind of losing interest in it. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman weren't exactly dragging me in at 21 after 21-0. But the Ravens did a good job of trying to get back into that game. Just didn't work out so well.
Yeah, but again, I don't feel like they were getting back into it. I still feel like the Bengals were letting them back into it.
Yeah, I
almost
do
like they got a call from the NFL headquarters going, hey, guys, don't make this a blowout. We're trying to increase viewership.
Ratings are down. Yeah. We'd love it for you to just come right back.
People are going to turn it off if you blow them out. You know, it's okay to do it on a Sunday because we got a lot of games, but you know, we need close games every time there's only one game.
How much, I would love to be at the league office in New York when these stories come out about, oh, another ratings failure for the National Football League. They're down X percent. What they're discussing, how they're talking about this.
Well,
what are they saying is the answer?
Hopefully they move away from kneeling and it'll be, you know, white collar crimes are what taking us down.
Yeah, well, exactly. What's taking it, right? Well, it's a lot of it's because of that insider trading.
Yeah, I'd like to see how the fat heads in D.C. respond to that one.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Insider trading NFL. This is why America's turning away. But nevertheless, I mean, that you can't. My whole contention with the ratings thing is I got a couple angles on the rating situation. If you're in the league, it's a concern, but it's only a concern for future negotiations, right? Like the NFL is a product that is delivering ratings to Fox and NBC and CBS, right? It's delivering the product there and ESPN on Monday Night Football. But in the end, those rights fees, this year's rights fees are already paid for, right? So it's up to the networks to try to figure out with the sponsors how they're going to deal with the ratings. Now, future ratings declines could mean a different pace structure, but the NFL is still a product everybody wants, regardless of where it goes. So I wonder sometimes if it's coming, you know, the ratings are having a big impact. The ratings are a concern. But when fans talk about the ratings, this is what I don't understand. When fans bring up the ratings or fans talk about their sport getting better ratings, I couldn't care less how many people are watching what I like as a fan. Now, granted, if I'm a network executive, I do, but I'm not a network executive. Okay. I'm a fan. So if I watch the Steelers Browns all the way through and I find out that the Steelers Browns got the lowest numbers in the history of the rivalry on television, I couldn't care less. That's what I chose to watch. It's like that with any television show. If it's on television, like the NFL is never going to not be on TV. So I'm not worried about it being canceled. So if when I see a fan tweet out a ratings, like, oh, the NFL ratings are down. Why do we as fans care what the country is or is not watching? Now, again, we're not network executives. We don't work in the league office. We don't do it. None of us have this direct responsibility for it. So what are we concerned about? Like, why are people concerned? Why are the average NFL fan concerned what the ratings are? Trust me, it is never going to not be on TV.
Exactly.
Never.
I was thinking the
never
same thing.
Never going to not be on TV.
The NFL is not going to, I mean, your favorite TV show might get canceled. The NFL
exactly.
will not get canceled.
I liked that show, Kevin Can Wait, right? Because I'm a big Kevin James fan. I mm-hmm. liked him on King of Queens. I liked Kevin. I was blown away they canceled it. I was so upset they canceled it because it was one of my favorite sitcoms. I really enjoyed it. I realized, whoops, apparently rest of America doesn't agree with me on this, and the executives at CBS made the change.
Now, there's a new trend in TV now. If that show gets canceled on one network, it'll get picked up on another.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. It'll come back.
Yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. If you're a fan of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, no longer on Fox. Fox got rid of it. Now
it's on now.
Now it's going to be on NBC.
Perfect. See, that's exactly what happens. But the NFL is never not going to be on TV. Why are we as fans concerned with the? Who cares if the ratings are up, down, sideways, or backwards? I couldn't care less. So here's the deal, people.
You know why we
relax.
Care? It's going to affect the dollar amounts that these guys get.
Yeah, that's it. Right.
That's why you need to care, Tony.
That's it.
These players playing a kid's game won't be making the millions that they're used to making.
And here's what the NFL will do.
It's going to be hard to feed their family.
The NFL will, and NBC will say, well, we're not going to pay the same amount. And the NFL will say, all right, fine, we'll give Sunday night games to, HGTV. Oh, okay, whatever you want.
That'll be fantastic, though.
Wouldn't that be great?
Can you imagine it on HGTV?
Chip and Joanna Gaines calling the play-by-play? How awesome would that be?
Building a little birdhouse in the meantime?
Yeah, exactly.
Halftime show is not, is, you know, hey, this is how we redecorated our studio.
Exactly. Ravens score a touchdown. Joanna? Well, I think the Ravens would actually look good in an aqua blue.
Yeah, we got to go with more of a Ravens theme now.
Yeah, a little bit. I think what would be really cool is instead of running into the end zone, the Ravens ran into a 7-layer birdhouse that we actually can put together with a running faucet. Oh, that would be fantastic. Can we build that by next week? Yeah, that's the deal, right? I mean, these networks, because look, the NFL is a ratings grabber, but for a lot of these networks too, it's one of the ways you get eyeballs to your network. Because again, of the largest rated television shows and are still NFL football.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, we talk about the ratings drop. They're still number one and like on every network.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. I mean, the ratings dropped. Oh, we lost the percentage points. Like, you guys are still number one.
Yeah, and that's it. And the NFL still has a product that these networks will bend over backwards to get it. Remember when NBC lost the NFL? Remember when they had it and they lost it? And remember, because Fox got it. Fox got it in the mid-90s, maybe early 90s, when Fox got the NFL. And they took it from CBS. They got the NFC games from CBS. And then and NBC had the AFC games. And then NBC lost it through some belief that they didn't need it. They lost it. They went crawling back to the league to get it back. Now, of course, at the time, the NFL was a ratings juggernaut, and it was the most popular thing by a mile on television, so you would be a fool if you didn't have it on TV. But there are other things other than ratings that the NFL and these networks use the NFL for. I mean, ask yourself a million times, how many times does Joe Buck, for example, have to read a promo for an upcoming TV show or an upcoming Fox? When I was a kid, Pat Summerall would do it for 60 Minutes all the time, right? Coming up next on 60 Minutes. That's what they use this stuff for. They use this stuff because they know they're going to generate a huge amount of eyeballs for a game, and then they're going to say, and oh, by the way, on Monday nights on CBS, we got this really funny show, and we also got this great hospital drama that you don't want to miss. And that's what they use it for. And if you don't have this, if you don't have it in the fall, if you don't have NFL football in some capacity in the fall, you really are behind, way, way behind. I don't care what the numbers say. I don't care if it's down or up. So stop tweeting about the problems the NFL has with ratings. These are irrelevant to the average fan. You're always going to get it in your game. You'll always, always, always have it on TV to watch. And the networks will still bend over backwards to get it, regardless of what the ratings are. We pretend like we care about this stuff, and we shouldn't care about this at all. This is a non-issue. This is something you don't need to lose sleep over about whether or not the NFL is still popular or not. If you like it, you like it. Who cares if your neighbor or your neighbor's neighbor or everybody on your block has stopped watching because of the anthem situation? If you like it, you'll consume it. That's all. That's it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the ratings. So that's my tip for the weekend. Who cares if other people are watching or not? You don't have to worry about it. 800-777-2907. Hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. You can hit Ron up at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It's SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, before we get to the top of the hour, what's the latest update on Hurricane Florence? Has it made landfall yet?
It's there. The only thing I've been seeing is that it's a Category 1.
Oh, you're kidding. Is it died out now that
so
quickly?
Weak. Such a weak storm.
I don't want to make light of this. All right. I don't want to go all Danny Cannell on us, but are we making too much of these hurricanes and then not until we just need to settle down as a country? Or is it, cause I think these hurricanes are dangerous and you should take precaution, but are we overreacting to this because we've had Katrina and Harvey and What was it, Irma last that went through Florida last year?
You know what? I wish I could
Andrew
say yes.
A couple years ago?
I wish I could say yes, but you know, I think it's more of the potential that could happen. It's still going to drop a whole lot of rain.
Yeah, that is very true. What was the hurricane that we just had with Puerto Rico? Do we remember that one?
No.
I forgot.
I forgot too, but
it's the point of having these names if I'm going to forget them.
Wasn't it Maria?
Maybe it was Maria.
Maybe Maria?
Yeah, it might have been. I got to remember these names. That's the only way we can identify these hurricanes is with these names. By the way, shouldn't the hurricane pick its own name since we're in that kind of mode now? Identifier? Stop gender identifying these hurricanes.
Well, because don't they flip-flop, right? It goes male,
yeah,
female,
male, female. But shouldn't the hurricane go, wait, I feel like a male today. So call me Sam. Or call me Jane.
So
call me
what
Bill.
You're talking about is maybe just give them all the last name Jenner?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Has there ever been a Hurricane Ron? Because I know I know as a fact there has never been a Hurricane Anthony or Tony.
Well, if there was a Hurricane Ron, I guarantee it blows. No, I think, but I mean, if you're looking for that gender equality, I mean, maybe what if we started off calling it Hurricane Bruce? And then, midway through, like, it feels more like a Caitlin.
Well, it feels more like a Caitlin as it hits landfall and starts making an impact and it needs to stand on an ESPY stage and get an award. Let's call it that. Oh, goodness.
You were the
Florence.
Best hurricane ever.
Wait a minute. I got to stop myself. I'm sounding disappointed that it was reduced, or I should be rejoicing that it's a hurricane. Why do I sound
disappointed? We're always disappointed.
This was death and destruction onto the coastal Carolina.
We love train wrecks.
I guess you're right.
Come on, go to YouTube. Yeah, I mean, how many times do you see, look, this person parallel parked perfectly? This car got sideswiped by a semi.
No. Oh, but I have to be really careful because I when I was doing mornings in Colorado Springs back in 2005, I always kind of grew up where, all right, hurricanes, if you evacuate and whatnot. But I remember that morning, Katrina, me and my co-host at the time, we saw the Superdome falling apart. We were like, wow, look at that. The Superdome is falling apart. Wow. And like, we were talking about what we were seeing on TV, on the radio. And it was like, and it wasn't until like the next day, we're like, wow, there were people inside. Like we didn't know because we didn't know. I mean, we didn't know what was going on there. We just thought the city had been evacuated and we were kind of laughing.
The government didn't even know.
We were making fun of the Superdome. Like things were falling apart on it and was getting blown away and it might collapse. And it wasn't until the next day. Like we went on the air. And we're like, man, we're so sorry for that antic because we did not know that there were people inside that Superdome petrified to death that thing was going to collapse on them. And so I've been really more careful with hurricanes. And I just caught myself thinking, oh, it's down to a one. Ugh.